Hey there, ever thought about what makes your heart beat a little faster?
Oh, you mean like when you discover a new track that just speaks to you?
Yeah, or finding a movie that you can't stop thinking about?
Well, get ready to feel that excitement all over again because Amazon Prime is here to take your entertainment and shopping experience to the next level.
Absolutely. Prime isn't just about getting your packages quicker. It's about diving into a world of endless possibilities. From the latest releases to exclusive content you won't find anywhere else.
And don't even get me started on the music. Prime offers concert specials that will transport you right to the front room. It's like being at the hottest gigs without leaving your living room.
I use Prime to tap in with some of my favorite artists' live shows from any and every genre of music.
Trust me, Prime is a game changer. It's like having a personalized superstore and entertainment hub right at your fingertips.
So why wait? Head over to Amazon.com/Prime and start experiencing entertainment like never before.
Say your homie kill my dog, but now we dead now. I just put like 20 on my wrist, bitch, I'm the man now. And I move a lot of pounds for cheap, this ain't no handouts. I could put like 20 on your head and now it's man down. I just got the shit up off the mugs, bitch, I trap hard. Swing it to my gang, you other niggas, you get taxed off. I could get 100 on, cause I'm at with my track on. Fuck them other niggas, they was down, now we back on. Got these bitches scouting me, running like a track star. Big wallet, shit talker, I'm Aries fit too small, bitch, I got big pockets. Every time she get the dick, little bitch, now she can't sit proper. Now I gotta take her to the mall and make her drip prouder. Fell asleep in Gucci, but I woke up in a Hellcat. Take this YSL, cause I don't purchase no Chanel bags. Maybe even Fendi, like a fact, bitch, I can't sell cat. Smelling like new money and new runners, you can smell sex. Balenciaga ball and chrome harder. Reefy sell that Benji, do the rollie, get the carter. I don't do no shooting.
What up, what up? It's the realest podcast ever, episode 149. I'm your host, C. Diddy.
And man, everybody's like half asleep.
Yo, it's like getting up in the morning is like a task. Damn. And I know you was up super early.
I got up at 5.
Sheesh. That record right there, man, that's a world premiere. We're going to get into the whole record at the end of the show. We're going to drop that, man. That's a super talented guy, very good friend of mine, Bang Bang, featuring ESTG, that record called Catch a Body, produced by Forever Rolling, the hottest producer in the game right now. And we got one, Philly. So it's like, you know, with all things in mind, the record dropped today. We got a world premiere here first on the Realest Podcast ever, man. We appreciate you coming through today, brother.
Appreciate y'all having me, man.
Yeah, I'm definitely
an avid listener of the show.
I was just telling you off air, off camera, like, they like, you really a rapper now. Like,
yeah, man, it's a lot of hard work, man, and transition to in like full rapper mode. Yeah. Like, you really gotta be dedicated to
you
this
got
shit.
Like a project manager and listening parties, yeah, and interviews and all that shit, man. I'm happy for you. You deserve this shit, though. You've been grinding this a long time.
Yeah, man. I've been putting that work in. You gotta put the work in. Like,
yeah,
you can't get around the work
for sure
at all.
For sure. So we appreciate you giving us the exclusive coming here first, fucking with us. You know, you new to our audience. We got kind of like a different type of audience. We got a mixture of like young motherfuckers that's like running wild. Then we got like older people that got like businesses and jobs and families and shit like that, and kind of like everything in between. So we basically like to start every interview kind of the same way from the beginning, in terms of like, you know, an introduction, and then we get into the
goings on. It's been, what does the SG stand for?
Snatch Game.
Thank you. I couldn't put it together. I'm like,
Bang Bang Suja.
I'm like, is he from South Philly and they just fit the P or something else? I don't know what the fuck is going on. I couldn't put it together, but all right, cool.
So give everybody your name, you know, where you from, and we're gonna start from there.
Everybody don't know. They gonna know soon.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They call me Bang Bang. I'm from Uptown. Germantown section of Big Zach, Haynes Street, you feel me? Grew up in Germantown, you know what I'm saying? Just doing this music shit, putting on for my section of the city, like,
yeah,
just grinding.
SG could have been south of Germantown.
No, but to the people that don't know, Snatch Gang is like, it's not like no criminal shit. Like,
right.
It's like lingo. It's like somebody be like, oh, I'm going to the mall, I'm about to go cop up, or I'm gonna go splurge at the mall. Like, no, we snatching. Like, we gonna go in the mall, we gonna snatch that shit. Like, we gonna go get whatever we want. Like, we driving fast in the car, we speeding, like, we snatching through the streets, like, in a hot wheel. So it's like, just our own little way of, yeah, like,
something you created.
Yeah, yeah, like, yeah, put our own laws, twist on it.
Okay.
Philly's colloquialisms is always on full display.
It's like Poppy,
man,
with the dragon.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Exactly. Same sort of thing. So, tell the people, you know, what your life was like in terms of, like, you know, being young, growing up, and, you know, like, your transition into, like, what got you interested, not necessarily rapping, but what first got you kind of, like, interested in music?
Well, like, I grew up, like, rough in the hood, like, so I had, like, a rough upbringing, but, like, I was, like, a village child, if I want to say, like.
Okay.
So, like, I was exposed to a lot, like, from people that was, like, outside of my family. But, like, people always took a liking to me as a kid. So, like, people always, like, take me with their family on vacation, right, or, like, trips to the mall. Like, shit that they knew, like, I wasn't experiencing, like, with my family. You feel me? So, it was, like, growing up, I kind of, like, had it rough. But I had, like, my eyes open to, like, and been exposed to a lot of stuff. So, it was, like, I never really, like, sulked in it. You feel me? Or, like, be down too down on myself. And, like, I just used to, like, use music to, like, as, like, an escape. Like, I just walk around with an iPod all day. Like, that was, like, the best invention to me. Like, I would never take it out. Like, and then it's, like, you just get exposed to more and more music. And it's, like, I don't only listen to hip-hop. So, like, I listen to, like, rock and roll, pop. Mm-hmm. Like, so you never know what you might hear when you get in my car. Like, you might hear some Britney Spears, or you might hear some Tupac.
It's crazy
Tupac.
I hear niggas say they're, like, listening to music. I don't listen to rock. I don't listen. And it'd be, like, but rap comes from rock and roll.
Exact fact.
Like, that shit straight derives from...
straight elemental. From
like, not even like a little bit. Yeah. Like, when you listen to, like, a lot of big rap records, a lot of the chords are rock chords.
Even how they structure the song.
Yeah, like, straight up and down. You saw when, like, Kanye doing, like, the Doors for the Takeover. Yep. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, like, it really comes from rock and roll. Like, yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. I listen to a lot of rock, yeah.
It's kind of, like, corny because, like, sometimes you can't really enjoy it with people
with
you
niggas.
Would want to.
Like
you would want to put them on some shit. But you'd be like, man, I ain't even got time.
Yeah. You gotta do the whole backstory and explain.
What's going on with
you? Yeah, exactly. And
is everything
like,
all right? Like, you need to talk to the school counselor.
Like, no, for real.
Yo, what made you listen to Aerosmith? I mean, that shit hot. Like, what you want from
yo,
me?
You want to know what's crazy, though? I started listening to rock and roll from movies.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm a heavy movie boy. So, like, if I'll hear a song in a movie, I'll go Google the movie, Google the soundtrack or the credits, and I'll be
and
like,
find
all right,
the record.
And find
true
the record.
True story. I can
I'll
tell you what, like, not even trying to be funny. I remember my first time watching Lean on Me as a kid with Morgan Freeman. Mm-hmm. Remember he was Joe Clark and shit? Remember the opening scene when they were running wild and Welcome to the Jungle was playing, Axl Rose and them? And I remember hearing that shit as a kid, like, this song is insane.
This is the greatest song of all time.
And I remember, like, going to find out what it was. Like, all right, cool. Axl Rose, Guns N' Roses, like, okay, cool. Welcome to the Jungle. And then, like, you know, like, your homies is like, well, fuck you, listen to this, fuck you, listen to this. Then years later, Swiss Beats and Kanye and Jay do it. Niggas like, oh, man, it's the greatest fucking thing. And it's just like, nah.
Niggas
like,
22 years ago.
Yo, it's crazy.
Yeah. But no, rock music is definitely it.
So what was some of your early inspirations in terms of, like, music stuff that you latched on to, that you heard, like, damn, like, that's dope. Like, what did you really, really fuck with when you was, you know, on your iPod shit?
Influence wise, like, that influenced my life the most was, like, Jim Jones, Jeezy, a lot of Pusha T, a lot of Beans, a lot of Beanie Siegel, and a lot of, like, major figures like Dutch and Spade, for real. Like, they was, like, the tandem, like.
Yo, I'm glad you brought them up. Can you kind of, like, talk about, like, from a bird's eye view of, like, how good and talented and inspirational somebody like Spado was to a young kid like yourself trying to break into
rap? We had this conversation one day, like, where it was like, Spade was like such an influence. And then I was like, yeah, but he was going for so, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's just like, yeah, but like before that, yeah.
My honest opinion, I feel like he was the real representation of, like, a Philly guy. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, Beans is, like, the bully, Nick, on like, a Philly bully.
Like, the flip side of the coin.
But I feel like Spade was more all around. Like, he was fly. He had the language. Like, not too many rappers from Philly really included the Philly language. Maybe some words, but his whole style of rapping was like having a conversation on a block. Like, you feel me? That's how I took the music in. Like, it was like when he talked, it's like two old heads who I watched growing up arguing at a dice game or something. It's like, it gave me that feel to it. Like,
Beans was like for the niggas that like had the little brown marks on the front of their jeans. You know what I'm saying?
With niggas that wore wife beaters all summer, no shirt, just wife beaters.
Yeah, and then Spade was like the niggas who wear sunglasses that don't block out no sun.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, like when people ask me like, who's my, you know, top Philly artist, whatever, I always include Spado and like, it's like such a Philly thing to do, but it's like if you talk to people that's not from Philly, they don't get it.
No.
Because they didn't see it and they didn't like experience it. Like, I remember Spade being at my cousin Stevie G crib on 56th Street, and that nigga could freestyle for hours. Like, just all smoking a cigarette and then and it sound like it's prepared raps, and he's really like just freestyling for hours. And like, and then his writing was impeccable, and like he was like a 5-tool player. And in that era, we probably didn't even know what we had from
I don't think anybody knew back then.
Nah.
Like, even when you look at Philly's Most Wanted, Staten, like none of them. Yeah. I don't think.
Because when you just look at their contribution outside of music, it's like, bro, they really was like powerful as shit. Yeah. Like, they really left an imprint on the game to where as though, like.
You listen to that Best of Beans, that the drum where it was all freestyling. I think it was like the Watch for the Hook beat, where it was like the Hop Out the Five.
Hey there. Ever thought about what makes your heart beat a little faster?
Oh, you mean like when you discover a new track that just speaks to you?
Yeah, or finding a movie that you can't stop thinking about?
Well, get ready to feel that excitement all over again, because Amazon Prime is here to take your entertainment and shopping experience to the next level.
Absolutely. Prime isn't just about getting your packages quicker. It's about diving into a world of endless possibilities, from the latest releases to exclusive content you won't find anywhere else.
And don't even get me started on the music. Prime offers concert specials that will transport you right to the front row. It's like being at the hottest gigs without leaving your living room.
I use Prime to tap in with some of my favorite artists' live shows from any and every genre of music.
Trust me, Prime is a game changer. It's like having a personalized superstore and entertainment hub right at your fingertips.
So why wait? Head over to Amazon.com/Prime and start experiencing entertainment like never before.
And spray your J30 all like that. It was just everyone was nice. Yeah. Everyone could fucking rap. Shit was crazy. Dutch is one of my favorite rappers ever. I always like
on
Dutch.
Some real shit. And I always gotta give him his flowers. Like, he the reason why I didn't quit rapping. Like
Doug.
Cause he ended up moving to my neighborhood, and like, you know how it is. I'm out there every day. He moved to a neighborhood. He coming to kick it with me. Yeah. And I'm just
cause we talk about it a lot on here. Like, rap isn't just words. He was like one of the first Philly dudes that was like, him made it pop more than the words. The words was hot.
The energy, the delivery.
The delivery and everything.
I made a vow to myself to never be broke no more.
I remember vividly him saying, I know how to hold the 40 steadily. If you live, you probably snitch like Steady B. Or roll your ass around like Teddy B.
That was crazy.
That was crazy.
That's just amazing.
But that's some Dutch ass shit.
Like that's really like my OG. Like, he really gave me a lot of game. Like, when I was really like down on myself, like on some, I ain't fucking with this music like shit. He was like, no, you gotta. And we would just sit, and I'd be like, yo, how it was when you first touched $1 million? Like, how, like, what's the craziest place you ever traveled? He like, man, I was in South of France with Lil' Kim and Scott Storch. Like, you feel me? So it was like, damn, like, I gotta go experience that. So it was like, he gave me that extra little fire in my ass to let me know, like, you could really get that shit.
To that point, it's a lot of shit that, like, these Philly rappers that might not necessarily made it as rappers, but they was around.
For sure.
All the people that was shaking shit up. Like,
Dutch and Gilly was in the stands in the Go DJ video.
No, for sure.
Yeah, like fucking Bubonic was over in, he was living in London, and then fucking, he told me a story one time about him and Mr. Man was with these fucking princes from Dubai, and I'm just like, how? They're like, they like, please don't mind. You know what I'm saying? So it's just like, music could take you so far and put you in the company of so many powerful fucking people. And it's like now he didn't transition. He doing other shit. He doing art. Tommy Hilfiger is his biggest benefactor.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He one of the biggest art benefactors in the world. And he like, man, he's like his daughter do art and he supports my shit more than his more than his daughter's shit because he just believe in it. But it's like, yo, we had so many talented people from that era that went and did so much, but not necessarily just straight rapping.
Like, they just use it as a tool.
Think about Beans having like a record label, a clothing line, a movie.
I was in State Property too.
Yeah, crazy.
as an extra.
Think about this. That shit spawned from him doing a freestyle.
Nah.
Like a no beat freestyle during a concert. And that's really like, you know what I'm saying? Like, so yeah, like
I really be trying to be like a student to this shit. Like I really sit back and be on YouTube for hours and just watch like old behind the music episodes of like, cause I'm big on like wanting to know like how people got discovered. Like that's the best part of the story. Like you hear about like Bing Shaw, like y'all waited outside the radio station for Kanye for 8 hours. He played me and then I just start rapping while he was walking out and he stopped. Like, damn, like. Another person would have took that rejection and be like, man, Kanye, you asshole.
Drake said Wayne walked past him. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
First time Wayne walked past him. Like, all right. It's 7 months later, hey, man, heard this guy.
Even Fab, like, yo, we paid Lil Wayne like $100,000 for a verse.
Said Wayne got the bottles and bounced.
Yeah, like, did the verse in 10 minutes and left. Ain't say two words to him. Like, and then he put his 10,000 hours in, spent the block, and then it's like you get reintroduced to people you met before. So it's like, I'm waiting for that moment. Like, yeah, you gonna meet, some people gonna meet me now on the way up, but it's like, damn, when you spin that block and you be like, damn, I did meet you or remember I met you at a concert. Like I want to meet them moments. Like it's a couple rappers too, like Benny the Butcher. I can't wait to see that nigga.
What's the thing with Benny the Butcher?
No, cause I like he one of my, like, don't you hate, like you hear rappers say it all the time, like when you meet somebody that you listen to and idolize and they not
say, don't meet your heroes.
Yeah, like don't, like that shit is real. Cause it's
what
like
Drake says, when the pandemic, how magic work.
Yeah, like when the pandemic happened, you know, like all the rappers was doing the if you got hot music, hit me up. So I'm thinking like, damn, all right, boom, I hit him up. We talking. He like, yeah, I'm doing a mixtape, wah, wah, wah. It costs X amount of dollars. I sent the bread. As soon as he sent that amount, I sent the money right through. He like, damn, you don't play. I'm like, bro, I'm thinking I'm about to get a chance to work with one of my favorite niggas. Yeah, project come out. It's 800 songs on a mixtape. He done got the same amount of money from 800 niggas. He done went platinum in the streets. You might as well go ahead and retire. It's like, damn, bro, I looked at you like a part of why I liked you so much was like you was one of us. You feel me? Why would you finesse niggas like that? Like,
that's nasty.
Yeah, that's nasty, bro. It just made me look at it different. Like, they got you now. Like, you officially an industry guy.
And
like,
extra fucked up because a nigga like him that was, he was the neighborhood hero in Buffalo forever. Everybody knew Benny and this and all them little independent Amazon movies. He on the soundtrack and some of them he in and this and this. And
now, I always put all these niggas together. Him, Conway, and
Westside
Gunn, right?
Yeah.
Benny the Butcher is the one that had the shooting shit.
Yeah, Benny the Butcher. So you would think that a nigga like him that was the underdog for so long that finally got a shot will understand that position and then be in a position of power and really try to help niggas as opposed to, man, I'm just raping the whole budget. Like, that shit is,
I just
want to
have a real conversation with him. Like, listen, bro, I'm a nigga, like, I want you to see that, like, I got here still, you feel me? That wasn't going to make me or break me, but I just want you to know, like, bro, don't, like, I want to have an intimate conversation, like, bro, you can't forget about the niggas that got it, that's getting it, how you tried to get it, and how many times they fell and got up. Like, bro, don't, you feel me? You can't do that. The niggas, like, not when you crazy. Saying you one of us, you coming from where we come from. Yeah, like,
you,
bro,
ain't
you
conducting
can't.
Yourself like you one of us.
Yeah. Like, bro, that shit literally had like 200-300 songs on one mixtape. Yeah. Like, bro, ain't nobody listening to that, bro. And you just got money from all these people who ain't benefiting nobody. Cause anybody in their right mind, I'm looking at it like, I'm not about to.
No, fuck no.
I'm not even about to. I'm thinking like, I'm gonna give everybody a listen, see if I can link with some folk. Like, bro, I'm looking at the joint, like my song like number 48. I'm like, man. Luckily it wasn't like no crazy amount. Like, you feel me? Because I'm thinking, like, you got to understand, everybody, it's the we fresh into the pandemic. Everybody trying to capitalize on everything they can. So luckily, it wasn't like an amount that really would have broke me. Because if I was a struggling artist, I would have been tight.
You had to come find a nigga.
Yeah, like, I would be trying to pull up on you. Like,
it's something to be said about the fact that, like, motherfuckers be in the entertainment industry making enemies that they don't even realize that they making. And a lot of times, it'd be totally unnecessary because it's like, you didn't have to do that. You could have took the same scenario, solicited artists, music from 200 artists or whatever, and then just broke it down into volumes, and then every week you put out a different 10 song playlist. As opposed to,
it could have been a thing the whole
pandemic, as opposed to I'll just fuck it. 200, like, niggas is crazy. That's a wild ass fucking situation.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and then it was like, man, I was just trying to tell boys, like, man, don't, I ain't gonna say don't mess with rappers like that, but I would just say, like, if you're not going to get a feature from a rapper, I would just put my money into marketing. Like,
right.
All that trying to, like, because it's like you get caught up in the finesse. Like,
yeah. Speak about that, like, the power of marketing in terms of, like, you know, being able to push a record and how that can be more effective or as effective as, like, paying for features and this and this.
I mean, if you got the money for a feature, I would go for a feature, but it's a science to going to getting a feature, and I want people to know that. Like, even though it could be a nigga that's the hottest nigga in the world right now, like, just because he the hottest nigga in the world don't mean that y'all gonna make a song that people gravitate to. So when you thinking about doing a feature with somebody, you need to think about, all right, what lane of music are they in? Are they in the lane that I'm in or the lane that I'm chasing?
Yeah.
That's key first. The audience. What audience do they have? All right, if I'm a street rapper, all right, I'm going to go try to do a song with a G Herbo or somebody because that's the lane that I'm in. Yeah. That's the audience that I'm chasing. Then on top of that, when you're doing that production, that's the main key, you feel me?
Yeah.
So if
niggas
you
go and get this $20,000 feature on a $30 beat.
Right. Yeah. Or, like, you'll try to put a Kendrick Lamar rapper on a Pop Smoke beat. Like, it don't, you feel me? It don't make no sense. So you gotta make sure that the song is tailor-made. Now, if you can't get in the studio and cook up with them, then cook up 2-3 songs that you feel as though fit they sound, what you want from them.
I feel like that, in a way, you just made me think about that. When that hurt the feature game a lot. This internet passing songs through email and all, like, back in the day, songs got created together.
Right? Nah, but that's where you're wrong. They trick you into thinking
that. The cohesiveness of the record, though. Like, when you hear Beans talk about, or the Lox, rather, they tell the story about how Jay was like, yo, I got this rapper from Philly I want y'all to check out. They come to the studio, they meet Beans, they do Reservoir Dogs. You know what I'm saying? Crazy. Like, shit like that, where it's like, now, like, look at Khaled, like, how he's abused the, I'ma just send the beat to 60 people, they gonna all send me a verse, we gonna do the remix.
But Khaled actually getting a lot of these motherfuckers in the studio
not delivering.
so what would you get? What would you give delivering. The last Khaled album on a 1 to 10?
Like a 6.
6.
The new Khaled album?
Yeah. That's 6 is good if you thinking about a compilation album.
Hey, when you talk about, like,
6 out of maybe what? He got 15 songs?
Singles work. The singles work. Like, the joint with Lil Baby and what's the name is great. And Dirk is crazy.
Yeah, that's
Baby
wild.
Baby on there, like, rapping. But it's like he fall into the trap of, like,
with a Khaled album like him, like, with these names. And the records don't necessarily always match up to the name.
For sure.
And I was explaining to my cousin the other day, like, it's a whole bubbling music scene in Florida, South Florida, Central Florida, Northern Florida. And he could have fucked with them, still did the other records,
for sure,
but fucked with them niggas and give niggas a shot. Because his first record, we just talked about, a Holla At Me Baby, he was breaking niggas.
Yeah.
He broke Rick Ross. He broke Pitbull on that record.
He basically broke Plies, T-Pain.
He broke niggas.
Yeah.
And then it's like, you stop breaking artists because you chasing the hit song formula when you could make hit songs with new niggas.
No name, yeah. No name.
But that's work.
Cause he got the
and
hit.
Niggas don't
he got the hit formula, but he not going to get the new talent.
Yeah, I mean, more so what I was saying is just like, you look at, like, back, like when Pac signed with Death Row. Pac was in the studio for 3 weeks. You know what I'm saying?
It's straight.
Like, it's just no. Dr. Dre is just like, I'm throwing beats at him left and right. Like, we in the studio, we just cooking. Like, we just going to try to figure this shit out. And now it's literally like, oh, I got the beat, I got the song, I'm going to send it to so-and-so, get the verse, they send it back.
Oh, yeah, it's a lot of that going on.
And it's just like, I just don't feel like the actual making of music.
Oh,
even
yeah.
when it comes to production, in a lot of times, like, producers ain't necessarily like, when you hear Kanye say, I made Heart of the City for DMX, like, he never intended for Jay-Z, to where when he heard Jay on it, it's like, Okay,
I guess I can fuck with it.
I can see what we doing, because it's like Quincy Jones was tailor making music for Michael Jackson. Yeah. Like that's just the way it go. And now it's not like that.
Like I couldn't hear Cameron on H to the Izzo.
As crazy as it was Cameron
beat.
And I always say, like, I wonder what it would have sounded like to hear Cameron on that or Jay-Z on Old Boy
on it. And Jay-Z had Old Boy, and they took it.
Like, they straight stole that from Just Blaze.
And Jim Jones just did an interview saying that's how Cam ended up getting Down and Out, too.
Yeah.
That was like, you got that.
Oh, part of the swap.
Yeah, like, for free, John.
Yeah, it's crazy because it's like, where we at in music now, you got producers that want to be producers that don't even have no musical identity. Like, they whole thing is making a Forever Rolling type beat, a Wheezy type beat. And then it's like, you go on YouTube and that's all the fuck you see. And it's just like, where is money driven?
And then it's less crazy.
Like, even when you go on Apple Music, you know how you can go to like behind the boards for like the different producers? They got Jones now where they got playlists where it's like, sounds like DJ Mustard or sounds like Timberland, where it's a bunch of beats that got made that ain't Timberland.
Yeah.
But they all got the boom, 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 all that shit in the background. It's just like, that's kind of how music works. Oh, this shit is hot. This shit is working. We're going to try that.
Yeah.
We're going to do that.
Yeah, like, man, G cooked that from scratch. We got in the studio, Cordova.
It sounds like it, though. When you listen to the record, you can actually feel the energy in the record. Like, yeah, this isn't some microwave shit that, like, oh, he sent me this, and I sent him that, and we so-and-so patched it up. And it, like, no, it actually sounded like a record that got made.
And we did that shit in, like, 20 minutes, because I listened to the nigga so much, I already knew how he was going to come, so I already had, like, how it was going to come. I just needed to beat someone. Forever Rolling came in, he might have played, like, no lie, probably like two. I think that might have been like the second or the third beat. I'm like, yo, like, pull that up.
Go back to that jam.
And as soon as he pulled it up, I went in there and did that shit. And then
if you a talented artist, that making music don't take all day. It don't take weeks. When I say Pac was in the studio for 3 weeks, that nigga made two classic albums in 3 weeks.
For sure.
So it's like, don't say, like, even when Poppy was up here, he said the shit with Quilly. He said Quilly came in, was like, what's up, Pop? Heard the beat in the background, was like, you mind? Like, you know what I mean? And it was like, that's kind of how it works. Yeah, it's like, like, it's the process.
So how did you connect with G to begin with?
So Tok was like looking at G, to like, I guess, like, do business with him. So, you know, like, I'd be hanging out with Tok all the time. So we just always, you know, when they looking for new artists, when he was like looking for new artists, you know,
Marcellini shit, but it's like, it's always sold out.
No, y'all hit up when we get up. But it's like, you know, we just doing nigga shit, getting high, YouTube, he putting us on who they looking at, wop, wop. So he played G. I'm like, damn, who the fuck is this nigga? So he played one video, he played two videos. So, you know, me, I go look up the nigga whole shit. Listening to him. I'm like, bro, I'm listening to him every day. Like, I'm starting my morning, I'm getting in a car, I'm listening to him. Like, so he like kind of like my motivation now. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, damn, I tell Tok, I'm like, bro, I gotta get with this nigga, bro. I'm listening to him too much.
Yeah, like before this go too crazy.
Yeah, I'm like, bro, it's getting out of hand. I feel like I'm a fan first, but I'm like, bro, this my rapper instincts kicking in. So I'm like, bro, I gotta get with bro before he go. You feel me? So we get with him like probably like July. We go to Atlanta. I go pull up on him. We go link. We hang out for like 3 days. Mm-hmm. So we hang out. We do the song, whatever. We just kick it. We kept in touch. Feel me? We go back. Probably like, I'm gonna say like, we did the song probably like August. I'm gonna say probably like September. No lie, bro. Like September, October, he just hit.
Wildfire.
He just hit.
Like, he's somebody who threw the pandemic kind of like.
Yeah, no, him, Babyface Ray, like they was pandemic.
It was like every day I got on Twitter, it was somebody like ESTG talking that shit. ESTG, like every single day during the pandemic.
It was such an organic push, and it's like he did like.
It's almost like the way Dirk kind of exploded.
It's like, for sure. It's like he did like little subtle shit that let me know like them niggas know what they doing. Like when the Get Money record first came out before Gotti was on it, he held it off of streaming and just put it on YouTube until they got to 1 million views, and then they furnished it to the streaming sites, whatever like that. So it's like, that's like a trick you can do like as an artist to like boost your value, because if he would have put it on straight streaming from the door and it didn't work, they gonna judge you off of that go and try to get a deal.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, even like now with Bang, with having a record with him, it's like, yeah, I'm dropping this motherfucker at his hottest, and I'm coming with everything.
Well,
like,
I ain't
I'm
gonna
like
lie
a,
to
like
you.
Pre-packaged, like, I'm
I was sitting
artist.
Back with this song. Like, just like, I ain't gonna lie, I couldn't do nothing with the Birdman hand rub. Like, cause it was
you
like,
know what you got.
Yeah, but it's like when you coming into this shit and you like, in my situation. Like, I was basically, like, doing everything for myself. You feel me? Mm-hmm. So it's like, you get to certain points where it's like, you get that make you a man moment where it's like, you got to spend that money on this. You got to do this move. And it's like, that was like a make or break moment for me. Yeah. Like, all right, I spent the bread. But then I started seeing like the benefits off of me investing in it, making certain moves. Then it was like, all right, now to the next move. Like, all right, the video. Why, we got to go big. We got to make sure to do this. Like, this your introduction to the game. Like, you feel me? Yeah. So it was like, once I did it, like, I stressed, I cried. I got my, like, I got through the, got in the mud to get it done. You feel me? But once I got it done and I was able to sit back and it was like, all right, see it now, seeing it all come together, it's like, it was worth it. You feel me?
Yeah.
Like, it was worth every bit, because it's like, when you doing music, you try to get close to certain people so long, and it was like, I made one move and brung 60-70% of the people I wanted to get next to me, you feel me?
Right.
Or at least got on their radar.
Right.
So it's like, you always got to go big. Like, that marketing, that investing in yourself, going to try to best move with bigger artists, all that count. Like,
yeah,
a person can't tell you that it's not going to work. Like, it might not be the thing that blow you up, but you can't help but
it can at least move you forward.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, man, what I be seeing is that these artists, man, niggas be talented, niggas be having good records, and they be plugged in with this artist or that artist and having features or having access to these artists, and they be scared to, like, to bust their gun and, like, go and invest the money and invest in themselves. And I be looking at niggas like, damn, you done bought all this drip, you done bought all this jewelry, you done bought, tricked on all these hoes, and you won't invest in your career. And it's just like, why even bother? Like, if you're not going to make the necessary investment to take the next step. Because
I got a trick off on the hoes tonight.
Yeah.
No, like, but what I learned too is the people around them will kill their energy, and it won't even be intentional. Because, like, all right, for instance, like, I got homies that got money. Some got more money than me. Some got as much money as me. Yeah. Some niggas is just doing okay, you feel me? And they could invest in what I'm doing. Yeah, they could. They could sacrifice from their life and invest in what I'm doing. And do I wish they would? Yeah. But I don't let them not doing it hinder me from trying to make the progress that I'm trying to make. You feel me? Because now that I'm in the position that I'm in and all the work that niggas did see me do, now it make them want to contribute. Like, you feel me? Like,
trying to get niggas to support something is like the most difficult task on the
They got to see you back.
So you really can't even, like, even with the podcast, you almost can't even take it personal.
No, or,
like,
you can't.
You really, because I've literally, like, I'm not going to lie, I've given up as far as, like, trying to get support from certain
people. Yeah, I stopped asking, motherfucker.
I stopped asking just because it's like, but my thing is, in 2 years, you look up and see a crazier situation. You know you had no hand in that. You know you had no part in that. You didn't even help in the emotional standpoint of that shit.
Facts.
You know what I mean? Like, true story, I had a conversation with somebody the other day. This is the exact conversation I had. Yo, man, I listen to y'all podcast, man. That shit is all that. Like, y'all niggas gonna blow. Like, y'all really have created, like, a media platform out of Philly. Like, it's only gonna go up and it's only gonna blow. Like, y'all niggas is next. I'm like, yeah, man. Like, me and Chad, like, we hope in the next couple years, like, you know, we've even contemplated going to Atlanta, going to Miami. And he was like, wait, you gonna lease up there? Nigga, how the fuck I'm gonna blow? And go to
it's like, bro, don't patronize me. Like,
like, it don't even make sense. How the fuck am I gonna do this and do this, that, and the
What's up, podcast land? It's your boy C. Diddy, one half of the realest podcast ever. Are you tired of the same boring, unoriginal podcasts that lack depth, originality, and substance? Well, I got a solution for you. Join us here every Monday and Thursday on Revolt Podcast Network for the realest podcast ever, where we bring you the best in entertainment news, fashion, sports, music reviews, politics, and street culture, with a mixture of the most powerful guests that you're going to find anywhere on the internet. Join us every Monday and Thursday for the realest podcast ever.
They're like, and still be on 49. Like, it don't make no fucking sense. And it's just like, that's really how people are. It's like, oh no, I want you to do good, but, like, stay in this little thing right here. And that shit is crazy.
You can't take it personally.
You almost can't even, like, tell. Like, if you sat one day and just told people, like, your dreams and your aspirations, they'd literally be like, huh?
Yeah, they won't understand.
The fuck?
Part of the reason why I changed my number after 18, 19 years of having it, I'm aging myself, but after all them years of having it, is because I was tired of small talking with motherfuckers about bullshit. Like, I understand my purpose. I know what I'm trying to do. I know what my mission is. I knew December, January, I'm like, this is a new year for the podcast. We gonna wipe the deck clean with whatever the fuck we did before this. It's certain action items that gotta take place this year in order to move this shit forward. And in the first quarter of this year, we accomplished more than we did the last 3 years.
Right. Nah, facts. And that's what I was on, because I was looking at it like, bro, I really had to sit back, like, all right, I know I'm willing to invest it financially. I know I'm putting my time in it, but like, where else am I going wrong at that's hindering me? So I start thinking like, damn, all right, I'm doing this with these bitches. I'm hanging out with this nigga, that nigga. I love him to death, but nothing that we doing is benefiting where
right.
I'm trying to go.
None of it.
Right.
So I really had to sit back and evaluate, like, all right, I got to lock in. And in the beginning, it was boring because you don't hang out with nobody. You trying to focus on getting shit done. You finding shit to get done.
Yeah.
Usually when you would you just
create,
sit
you
back
knock
and
out
chill.
A task and then you create more work for right. yourself and then you do something else.
So it's like, damn, you would look up and you didn't talk to a motherfucker that you usually talk to in a month, 3 weeks. You ain't seen him. But it's like, bro, it really shaped the people that need to be around because it's like, now that I'm at the point where I'm at, this last 8 months, a year, it's like all the leaves that needed to fall off the tree is gone. You feel right. me? All the motherfuckers that was seeing long term and was in it for the win, you feel me? They here. Like, it's, I got a man that, like, he never gave me nothing towards nothing, you feel me? But he a nigga that be like, yo, you got to go to a studio. He'll drive, you yeah. feel me? He'll follow me. He'll
and that's what,
go
like,
to the store.
Certain
he'll make sure we
purposes.
Eat. Yeah, he'll yeah. make sure we eat. He, yo, whatever. Anything I need to do to make sure I get, yo, I got to go to the studio at 8, but I got to do something at 7 for, no, I got you. You feel me? That little shit matter, you feel me? Yeah. Even just being there and being like, no, bro, that shit ass. Like, if you ain't got it, fuck it, don't even try tonight. Like, the studio ain't it tonight. Like,
right.
all that little stuff will matter, you feel me? And people don't understand, like, it ain't always bread. I feel like a lot of people lose out on good people and good opportunities.
They don't make the time investment, no sweat equity.
That's, what I, that's why I'm saying you didn't invest emotionally into it. And it's just like, yo, that shit matters. You know what I'm
Big
saying?
Big time.
Matters like a motherfucker. One of my best friends literally hits me after every show like, yo, I really enjoyed this segment. I enjoyed this. When y'all did this, I was cracking up. When y'all broke this down. And it's like, yeah, that should be necessary. Like, at least I know, like,
this shit ain't falling on deaf ears.
No, that's real.
But them people wake you up to what you was like, kind of like, damn, I wasn't even noticing like how people was actually treating me. And it's like, damn, this person was concerned. Like, they really hit you. And it's like, for me personally, I ain't know how to take that at first because I wasn't used to people doing it.
Yeah.
So at first, I was kind of like on defense mode.
Yo,
like,
yo.
Like, bro, don't, like, why every time I do a joint, you critiquing me and telling me, like, or what you don't like or what you do like. And then it's like, no, you need that. Those are the people that you
that
got
really
to zero in. Yeah. yeah. They really showing you, like,
because they're the motherfuckers that's going to take the time out to really, really
they
want to
see
care.
The best version of you.
Right.
You feel me? And it's like, damn, you would get caught up on people not congratulating, you'll be like, that's just such and such being such and such. And it's like, no, they not supposed to be like that.
Yeah.
Like, they supposed to be encouraging you and giving you that energy.
Like, I've actually even gotten a lot better with people just coming up to me in the street.
Yeah.
Shit, about the podcast. The podcast only. Like, about the podcast is cool. But, like, literally, motherfuckers will scream out the car, yell from over across the street, and I just be like, oh, what's up, you know what? And people like, yo, man, the other day, man, I was cracking the fuck up, like, right on, right on. You know, and it's just, I've gotten a lot better with that. Cause, and I was saying it yesterday, I'm like, yo, this shit is starting to go because it's happening way too much.
Yeah.
Like way more often than it was before. Where it's like older women, older dudes, young people, like literally like kids, like dead ass, like a 14-year-old the other day was like, yo, man, I really, y'all podcast get me through the day. I'm like, you're in 8th grade.
Right, you drinking chocolate. Right, right.
What the fuck do you need to get something to get through? But it's the truth.
And they give you all them different conversations that you usually wasn't getting. It's like it cut a lot of small talk out. Like now that I'm not just bang bang me, it's like the conversations be different now. It's like now that I put myself on a different platform to like really take, like, you gotta take me serious. So now people, when they meet me, is music first, you feel me? Before everything else. And that's how I wanted it. Like, you feel me? So you gotta just stick to it. That's the only way people gonna take you serious. When they start seeing you, like when people seen this ESTG move, it's like, it's so crazy. We got a picture on my page where I first did the song with him. It probably got like 100, maybe 200.
Yeah, nobody cared.
Nobody cared, you feel me? I dropped the video. I mean, when we shot the video, I dropped the pic. It got 2,000 likes, you feel me?
Yeah.
So it's like, damn, people didn't see the move then when I got in early, but now they see it now. Now the respect level just went from here to here in one move.
Consistency rattles people.
For sure.
In a weird way. Because even with this shit, you remember where we was like, people don't realize this shit. I quit at one point.
For sure. No,
like,
y'all went on a little small hiatus.
No, we went on. We got deleted from the directories on, on Apple and like, Google because we took so much time off.
Like, I was done. Then when I came back, remember, you were super out of it at one point. Yeah. And it was just like, we was kind of both just at a point where it was like, all right, it's either like we're gonna wave a white flag, or we're gonna do what we gonna do this, or we gonna go on some heat shit and just rob right. You know what I'm saying? Like it's one or the other. And then we both sat down. We sat down in my kitchen in my apartment and was just like, yo, we gonna do X, Y, and Z, and we gonna do this, that, and the third. And literally, we just got so consistent to the point where we're at now, where we're dropping 2, 3, 4 times a week.
Nah, fact.
People are literally like, oh, y'all not playing. Oh, yeah. Damn, y'all. It's like that now. And
yeah,
it's
we
like,
put out 10 videos in the last 2 weeks.
That's like, heavy. But the energy, people not even realizing, I don't want to really bring it to their attention because I wanted to keep going. But it's like people not even realizing the shift. Like, all right, the rappers or the underground rappers is like taking it a more serious to whereas though they want to look professional. Then you got media podcasts, whereas though it's like y'all and Wallow and them is like the top 2 podcasts and the top top 10, 20 shows. You feel me? So like that's media. So now I'm coming through here. I'm blowing up. Y'all blowing up. I'm spinning through here. I'm spinning through there. It's like, all right, now we getting our foundation to whereas though we getting our little system of people where people can really actually run around, drop a song and go here, go there, this platform, that platform. Like even down to like Philly School Ball. It's like it keep people informed. It's the same job as No Gun Zone or
shout out Tom
Fox.
Or Say Cheese or whatever.
It
like
has
people
a functionality
really go to
it.
Tom Fox said it the other day on Twitter. He was like, yo, like TRPE really created like a media platform in Philly. Like it's dope. And it's just like, and it made me think about it for a second when I saw it. I was just like,
because we made the decision to just like give motherfuckers everything. We gonna give you the interviews, we gonna give you the social media shit, we gonna give you our personal experiences, we gonna do the Patreon that's raw and uncut. We gonna give you everything. We gonna bring motherfuckers in that got perspective, they got something interesting to say, whether y'all understand what it is now. But something that I learned in just researching media, Vlad always says, I interview people just based on what they might be or something like may come up in the future that is relevant to my content. Right. And when they go and search it, they're going to see, I got an interview with this person, interview with He's like, so something that don't necessarily hit now don't mean it ain't going to hit 3, 4, 5 years from now if you're creating a content library. Exactly. And from that, I'm like, oh, we just got to talk to everybody. Yeah. Fuck it.
That's
like,
it.
Because you never know what people going to become.
Facts.
And a problem that, you know, that I've had just in general in life is kind of like being ahead of the curve on shit. And because I be so early on it, I just be like, I'm not fucking with that. It just move on to something else. And this is like one of the things that like I stuck through with it through all the ups and downs and battles and behind the scenes and this and this.
Yeah, we sure had some battles.
And we came back to the table and it's like from October of last year to now, nobody could fuck with us. Like,
and that's how I feel. Like, I just feel like I just got into this mood where I just was like, man, niggas not, they not willing. Like, what can I really lose but some bread? You feel me?
Right.
I'm like, man, this shit ain't nothing.
And
like,
once people are willing to detach themselves from money and the status part of having money or the security part of having money and realize that the money that you invest in yourself, you would have spent it anyway, probably on some bullshit.
For sure.
Or some dumb shit.
I told myself, like, all right, I don't care about how much I spend. This is where I'm not going. Like, long as I got this amount of money, like,
I'm good.
Yeah, like,
everything
you feel
up
me?
To this
like,
number.
I can spend this, spend it as I make it, whatever, but I'm just not going to go below this. Like, because as long as I got this amount, I'm always have a will. I'm always have a crib. I figure the rest out. You feel me?
Exactly.
That's all I'm really worried about because it's like, I'm working against time. I don't care about the money. You feel me? Because everybody's going in younger. Everybody want to go for younger artists.
Super young. 16, 17.
Yeah,
young.
When you order, you got to do a little bit more and you working against time.
Yeah.
So it's like,
yeah, I feel like you
I'm
can sense the hunger too when people get to them points where it's like, all right, like even with us, like you really going to do this? You can sense like, yeah, we're in a zone right now that's good. Like even with you, like I look at like Magnolia Muse. That was, right. I like that shit a lot.
Appreciate it.
You and Poppy on Paid in Full, that's totally different.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like you could just sense it and feel it. It's just, no, like I'm not playing now. Like I'm really, really like in this shit for real. Poppy was even saying that shit, like coming through the quarantine, like I was bullshitting, you know,
whatever. Sure.
But it's just like now it's like, no, like I'm really, 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 really here and in this shit. So
no, and I be texting like, bro, because people don't understand. You might give me motivation in this area and I could give you motivation here, you feel me? So it's like, he give me life motivation, you feel me? But with the music shit, he be like, bro, you really a go sacrificing. Like, you feel me? Like, we had a real conversation, like, when I first was, like, doing this ESTG shit, because I'm like, bro, I'm ready to, like go broke. Like, and he was like, no. At first he was like, no. And then he was like, damn, bro, like I really had to think about like what you were saying and what you was willing to put on the line for this shit. Like, he was like, no, bro, that shit really made me appreciate it and sometimes really look at this shit different.
Sometimes I ain't gonna hold you. I do. Cause like, even when you look at like the super success stories and it'd be like somebody now is worth $100 million and it'd be like, yeah, I was in a house with no lights and you know, this, that, and the third. I watched. Yeah,
Mark Cuban was fucking homeless at 27.
Dog, I watched Booker T's documentary the other day. Booker T was an orphan with his sister living in a crib. No water, no lights, no food. They stayed in the crib before until the house got foreclosed on.
Damn.
Yeah. Got out, he was robbing the Wendy's that he worked at. When he finally got, because he was working at Wendy's, like robbing it while he was working there.
Yeah.
When he finally got booked, he had robbed it 26 times.
Damn.
Like, what the fuck?
No, this ain't me.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's wild.
You got the wrong man. That ain't me on that video. Yeah,
Steve Harvey said he ain't get on TV till he was 36.
Yeah, that shit real.
Like, that's wild. Like,
and it's just like, yeah, it'd be like trials and tribulations. And it'd be like, damn. Like, so it's like, yeah, when you see somebody willing to go broke, willing to sleep, you know, at the bus station, willing to drive cross country. Stone Cold said he was literally driving cross country.
Yo, that's crazy. I was going to watch that tonight. Yeah. That's my man.
Yeah, Stone Cold Jonas. They got Stone Cold, Macho Man, Roddy Piper, and Booker T. They did Shawn Michaels Jonas. I know that shit gonna be.
That's gonna break the world.
Yeah,
bro, but I remember being a kid, like at my grandparents' crib, like when my older cousins like went, like when, like WrestleMania, like bro, that was like.
But that's the point.
That was like an event.
That was the point I was making. Because Booker T was saying that when you see the wrestler at WrestleMania that won the title and he's making millions of dollars, has endorsements, and Macho Man's is snapping to a Slim Jim and all this crazy, he's like, you don't even realize. Motherfucker been wrestling 20 years.
Making pennies.
Bullshit. They was wrestling in the sportatorium. He was like, that shit stunk. It was rats running around. There was no AC. And we was wrestling for $20. But it was just like, yo, you had to do it. Like,
gotta put the work in.
Paying your dues. You know what I mean? Fact. So it's like, yeah, that shit is real. Like, it's definitely
the
real.
Gym, man. You got to get in the gym with anything you do, man.
Exactly.
When I did my premiere and for my video for ESTG, Catch a Body, I played my first video and it was like, wow,
like night and day.
Like even me, like I had to really take it in, like bro, I really came like far, like I really stuck it out, got in the gym and actually got good with it to whereas though, like I really can say like I'm a established rapper, like and really could go, like you feel me, like it feel good, like it's a good feeling, like.
All right, so on my list, right, I had a question to ask you about, like what's your situation when you like really finally felt like a rapper, but you know, just through the convo, it kind of feel like you having your I'm a rapper moment, right, like now. Right now. So what type of you know, like additional like attention, people reaching out to you, et cetera, have you had just, you know, in the last, you know, few weeks of the build up to putting this record out?
I had a lot of A&Rs reach out, like just trying to figure out like if I'm signed to somebody, what I got going
signed
on.
Signed to the streets.
Yeah, for sure. like what I got going on, what's next after the single. Like I ain't gonna lie, like every A&R like I've probably DM'd over the years.
Now they
like,
DMing you.
Yeah, like they just in my views. I'm just seeing what's going on. Like Twitter, he not really that big, but he big. Millsy.
Yeah.
From Boston.
God in Boston.
No, for sure. Ain't he hot as shit?
Yeah, he the guy.
He followed me on Twitter. So Lito, young Lito, used to be with Troy Ave.
Yeah.
He followed me. We've been linking up.
Lito dope.
This kid from VA, his name, Young Crazy. He got a song with Ice World Vizzo right now. It's crazy. He just dropped a song with Ice World Vizzo called The Shell Jumping.
Okay.
The Shell gas station. Yeah. Now all the gas stations in VA ran out of gas. Yeah. That shit crazy.
Yeah, that shit is nuts.
And he capitalizing on
it. I don't understand how a pipeline gets hacked, but that's some shit.
Bro, 40%.
We all learning something.
Yeah, no cap.
Like, wait, so I could use a computer and hack the gas line and now it ain't no gas?
Like what?
Like if I need 93, I just can't get it from Virginia down to Florida. To Florida. That's crazy.
I got a Panamera I'm getting this weekend to go down to fucking Charlotte. It's like I'm putting regular.
Blame the hackers.
We wrecking this motherfucker all the way down, all the way back.
Put that
man.
Reggie in there.
Dog, 81, baby. I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck.
This ain't my shit.
Yeah, this ain't my shit. This shit going back. But the crazy part with that shit is like, did you see the pictures of the people like getting gas?
Yeah.
Like
it's a gas shortage. Motherfucker got 32.
I feel like that was their main plan. Like for people to Because that's where people going to make us run out of gas at, thinking like it's not going to be no gas.
The motherfucker was filling up trash bags.
Yo, that's wild.
Double knotting them joints.
They was mixing and everything, fighting. Like, how you fighting over gas?
Yo,
like,
Americans are idiots,
Americans,
man,
are morons.
We have rumble over everything. It's a gas shortage. Oh, I'm going to go buy all the gas.
How about just park?
Yeah, just don't
drive.
Just park.
No, I gotta get around. Where are you going that you need 32 drums again?
It's 80 degrees.
Whole
nigga,
state over to fill up with nowhere to go. Like, bro,
burn,
I heard they
the
got gas in Delaware, bro. We gonna ride
gas
home.
Back.
Exactly.
Bus stop
idiot
full of fly bitches and skeezers. Nigga, I'm out here. Fuck is you talking about? Nigga, I'm riding around. No. I remember when niggas really used to drive over to Jersey to fill up. Real shit.
No, for sure.
$12 like in tolls.
Like a nigga from Mount Airy driving to Camden to fill up.
Oh, the gas $208. Yeah, nigga, you paid four tolls to get there. What the fuck is wrong
like,
with
bro,
you?
Bro, you used 3/4 of gas to get back.
Yo, man, the gas shit is crazy. But yeah, they definitely got a shortage going on from VA.
Yeah, that shit is nuts.
Georgia. Sickening.
That shit is nuts, man.
Yeah.
All right, so you my guy, so we got to get into some mess before we wrap up. What the fuck happened with Meek on Clubhouse?
Bro, I'm still trying to figure it out because I didn't think like...
Can we have a moment of silence for Clubhouse? That shit is so fucking
fast.
Yeah,
it's done. It's done. I ain't going to lie, I got a lot of nice work off there, though. Great work. They said, you look like a thug. You talk well, though. Yeah, come on. Slide my DM real quick. You feel me? You talk the panties right off of her. They had bitches. That's how you know how horny the world is. They had girls like posting their pussy as they profile pics.
Oh, it was a moaning room.
Like it was, yeah, like it was like, you like it in your ass? Nut on your face or in your earlobe? Like, bitch, like, yeah. Like, yo, it was wild. But I ain't gonna lie, I met a lot of great people off Clubhouse. I met my manager off Clubhouse.
Okay.
From that Meek room.
Yeah.
But like, that room just
who
went left. Kim.
Oh, that's my dog.
Yeah. So
Kim Chanel. I introduced her to G in Atlanta because we had the party in Atlanta. And I introduced him because apparently the day he came up the Audio Mac, she wasn't there.
Yeah, no, we was in Atlanta together. I was supposed to shoot my video down there, but it was, if you was down there, you seen like it was going too crazy down there. We couldn't get it done. But yeah, she a trooper. But yeah, it just kind of like, he was like, had his grievances with other people in the city. And
it
I was kind of
all got
like,
mixed in together.
Yeah, I was trying to be the mediator of the situation.
He was on some, I don't want
to
hear that shit.
Yeah, and I just got caught up in the midst of everybody else's bullshit because it was like, I should have just spoke up for myself because I actually do got a good relationship with him.
Yeah.
And I kind of like kicked myself in the ass because it's like I should have been just bigging that up instead of saying what everybody else was complaining about.
Yeah, right. Or so, trying to like be the voice of reason,
right,
as opposed to just saying like, oh, no, cuz did XYZ for me. Because it's like what people don't understand from the outside looking in, Philly is like is a small, big city and everybody know everybody or everybody's
that.
One degree
if
removed
you meet somebody
from everybody.
From Philly and you be like, yo, do you know Deion Waiters? Do you know Meek Mill? Do you know Lil Uzi? And they be like, yeah, like they probably really not lying. Like,
yeah,
you could really go to a gas station and run into any
like
other
I met Meek one
echelon people in Philly.
I met Meek one time in life. Met Meek one time, but me and Tok got a great relationship. Me and Leem got a great relationship. Me and Coon got so it's like I could get to him. I just never really had a purpose of like anything that I was doing that you know I immediately needed him. But it's like everybody really know everybody. For I did 100 parties with Deion Waiters, fucking Book Uzi, like. Everybody know fucking everybody. So it's like, you know, that was like a situation where it was kind of like some street politics and some inner city shit going on.
If you notice, if you just even go back to the YouTube video, because it's on YouTube. Like, if you go look and see like who's in the room, it's all street niggas in the room. Like, it's not really like, it's probably like me, Rada, and I think Lid, Kobe from Southwest.
Yeah.
I think like we was like the only rappers. It's all, that was like some real town hall meeting shit.
Yeah.
Like, niggas really wanted to get shit off their chest, you feel me? And it worked for me. You feel me? Because
you got a lot of attention.
I got a lot of attention. I got a lot of plugs. You feel me? I met a lot of great people. And it was just like, for me, he helped me because he put me on the platform to hear what I had to say. So he basically telling X amount of thousands of people that was listening what I say matter in Philly. You feel
right.
me? So anybody that's listening with sense is like, who is he? I need to get familiar with him because if I'm looking at him like he the big time rapper or say so person in the city, if he respect what he got to say, Wallow respect what he got to say, Talib, these gatekeepers in Philly. Yeah. So it's like, they all like voucher for this young guy. Let's see what he got going on. Let's see what he
and
doing.
And then like after that, I seen like niggas from VA and New York posting your shit.
Yeah.
And we tapped in and blah, blah, blah. Nah, I'm real, like, yo, this shit like, was an accident, but it worked.
It worked for me, bro. Niggas was calling me 4 a.m. to get on that joint. Like, I really got woke up on my bed, but it was like, it was a blessing in disguise. Like, you feel me? I already know Meek not really tripping all that shit.
Yeah.
I just haven't seen him to really, you know what I'm saying? Like, me and Tok be at my crib, Piedmont, Lean, like, all them niggas.
I just seen Piedmont a couple days ago.
All them niggas, we locked in. Jeezy, Ral Jeezy, he was in the studio when we made the song, you feel me?
Yeah.
So it's like, It's Philly, you feel me?
Yeah.
People gotta realize, like, you can't just be letting one thing define your relationship with somebody. That was just a small, simple disagreement. I realized where I went wrong in a situation, so I can't be mad for him feeling a way about something I said because he did. We had a relationship. So I shouldn't have been speaking on what everybody else.
You ain't got the same issues.
I should have just spoken on how I felt. So, I mean, it was a teachable moment, you feel me?
Yeah.
I just look at it like that.
So, what do you got planned for the rest of the year? Your record is officially out today with ESTG. Catch a Body is everywhere, all streaming platforms. We're going to play it at the end of the show. Y'all get a premiere here from us. What's the plan for the rest of the year as far as, like, you know, working this record? And then, like, what's next after that?
Well, I'm going to work this record maybe 45, 60 days. Then I got another feature that's going to be, it's in the works right now, but it's going to be done and out by then. And then my project, probably top of the summer, right? I'm trying to have my project out either a few weeks, maybe 30 days before Rolling Loud.
Okay.
If that's just saying that this song don't go
berserk.
You feel me? And I'm getting,
because if this song go berserk, we gonna hold this other night.
You feel me?
We gonna hold this.
Yeah, that can wait. But as far as if everything go on schedule, then my project should be out around next, like June, June, early July.
So you gonna release an indie?
Yeah, okay. Independent. And we just gonna push from there. And hopefully we can do a nice partnership with somebody in the beginning in the future that see my vision. And we go from there, blow this shit up.
For sure, man. Well, I text you and I told you that I'm proud of you. Like, we got a real good relationship. A lot of people don't know. Like, he even got, when Bull was dissing me, he even got dissed.
For being my friend.
Like, he even got dissed for being my friend. Like, oh, you co-signed a nigga. You getting shot up too.
Damn,
that was a wild time in Philadelphia.
Yeah, that was wild.
But like, this my dog, man. We locked in and I text him and I just told him, like, yo, I'm proud of you. You know what I'm saying? Like, I seen your work from the very, very beginning, from like 2014 to now. Like, you know, we had a relationship. It's gotten stronger over the years. And I just let him know, like, you know, with no prompting, no nothing before, just let him know, like, yo, I'm proud of you. I see what you're doing. And if I can help you, I'm going to help you. And I told him then, yo, when you ready to drop the record and this, I'm going to do what I can do to help push it. And here we are today,
and I
man.
I hit this nigga 9 o'clock this morning, so you know.
So he was prompt. He was early, 10:52. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Got to. Now, I feel good that, like, when you could really, like, link with your, like, niggas that you really cool in real life and do constructive shit outside of what we...
Right.
Like, you feel me? Niggas hang, kick it, fuck bitches, get high, get drunk, play the game, whatever, you feel me? It feel good to be able to do some shit like this where it's like...
Hell yeah.
I can benefit for what I got going on, you could benefit, and then hopefully we have a classic interview...
Right.
...where niggas would be pulling this joint up like, yo, he was... This jewel or this gym. Feel me?
That's how
For sure, man. We appreciate you coming through today. This is the world premiere. Bang Bang Snatch Gang featuring ESTG, Catch a Body, live TRPE premiere.
Podcast ever, man. Y'all already know.
Yo.
Say your homie kill my dog, but now we dead now. I just put like 20 on my wrist, bitch, I'm the man now. And I move a lot of pens for cheap, this ain't no handouts. I could put like 20 on your head and now it's man down. I just got the shit up out the mugs, bitch,
I trap hard. Swing it to my gang, you other niggas, you get taxed off. I could get 100 on, cause I'm at with my track up. Fuck them other niggas, they was doubting, now we back on. Got these bitches scouting me, running like a track star. Big wallet, shit talker. I'm Mary's fit too small, bitch, I got big pockets. Every time she get the dick, little bitch, now she can't sit proper. Now I gotta take her to the mall and make her drip prouder. Fell asleep in Gucci, but I woke up in a Hellcat. Take this YSL, cause I don't purchase no Chanel bags. Maybe even Fendi, like a fact, bitch, I can't sell cat. Smelling like new money and new runners, you can smell sex. Balenciaga ballin' chrome harder. Reefy sell that Benji, do the rollie, get the carter. I don't do no shooting out, no cars, but I'll park you. Any nigga speaking on my name and he get auctioned. He ain't got my money, I tell niggas they can't stop me. Every week 100 on, to get it, split the profit. 20 on my arm, had to get a straight from Wifey. Tell these niggas I'm a problem, all my niggas out here wildin', catchin' bodies.
But getting money with some Philly niggas, raw people killer. Pick my flip up, smoking Billy Kimball. I can tell from talking to him, he ain't never killed a nigga. Pistol gripper, exile in my system, this whole nickel got a skinny trigger. Ain't no pretty picture, but I'm shining, nigga, fuck it. In my hood, I'm puffy, I been in my Duffy. Niggas never punk me, they know G gon' bust it. And a scuffle, and he getting money. I remember she ain't won't fuck me. Swore that I was ugly, riding down Riata on a Huffy. At Miss Janet's comfy, my big brother kill you if you touch me. If you live, you lucky, young nigga, but so far from a rookie. Nigga, sweet as tussy, told him mad to switch, now it's a fully. He won't miss a bullet, this exotic dog, pocket bully. Mask up when I cook it, he ain't fronted, so you know I took it. I knew he was pussy, we gon' shoot something. You try and whoop me, I take beef and cook it. Know I talk that shit and look it, don't get killed for looking.
He ain't got my money, I tell niggas they can't stop me. Every week 100 on, took in and split the profit. 20 on my arm, had to get a straight from Wifey. Tell these niggas I'm a problem, all my niggas out here wildin', catchin' bodies.
Hey there, ever thought about what makes your heart beat a little faster?
Oh, you mean like when you discover a new track that just speaks to you?
Yeah, or finding a movie that you can't stop thinking about?
Well, get ready to feel that excitement all over again because Amazon Prime is here to take your entertainment and shopping experience to the next level.
Absolutely. Prime isn't just about getting your packages quicker. It's about diving into a world of endless possibilities, from the latest releases to exclusive content you won't find anywhere else.
And don't even get me started on the music. Prime offers concert specials that will transport you right to the front room. It's like being at the hottest gigs without leaving your living room.
I use Prime to tap in with some of my favorite artists' live shows from any and every genre of music.
Trust me, Prime is a game changer. It's like having a personalized superstore and entertainment hub right at your fingertips.
So why wait? Head over to Amazon.com/Prime and start experiencing entertainment like never before.